1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. With the government shutdown now in its third week, Senate Majority Leader John Thune says he hopes to bring a bill to the floor this week to pay essential workers. But congressional correspondent Nicole Killian says a successful vote to fund and reopen the government is no closer.
Republican leaders remain frustrated by Democrats' posture. They simply want them to sign on to government funding and provide more votes in the Senate. However, Democratic leaders continue to insist that Republicans need to come to the negotiating table with respect to the issue of health care, more specifically extending the subsidies under the Affordable Care Act that are due to expire at the end of this year.
At the White House, a mineral deal was sealed at a meeting between President Trump and Australia's Prime Minister Anthony Albanese.
The two leaders signed a rare earths and critical minerals agreement. The deal, which President Trump said had been negotiated over 4 or 5 months, is aimed at ensuring a steady supply of the materials. Albanese described the deal as an
$8.5 billion pipeline that we have ready to go.
Stacey Lynn, CBS News, the White House.
By a 2-to-1 vote, a 3-judge panel of the Ninth Circuit Federal Appeals Court is allowing President Trump to federalize and deploy National Guard troops to Portland, Oregon. Alex Baumhart is a reporter with the Oregon Capital Chronicle.
There is no way that you can reconcile the way that the government's described a rebellion, a threat to their work in these legal cases with what you see on the ground.
Despite the ruling, legal challenges to the deployment remain underway. The skies over Gaza were quiet Monday as the Israel-Hamas ceasefire held together. Correspondent Deborah Pata tells us humanitarian aid is a major challenge.
Aid is also starting to flow into the territory, but the World Food Program says it is not enough. There are only 2 crossings open into Gaza. All 8 need to be operational to reach the more than 2 million people in need.
In France, there's significant worry that thieves who stole priceless royal crown jewelry from the Louvre Museum may melt the gold down and cut the precious stones for sale on the black market. More from correspondent Elizabeth Palmer in Paris.
It took them just 4 minutes to steal 9 priceless objects, including a pearl and diamond tiara made for Napoleon III's wife, Eugenie, and a sapphire-studded necklace and earrings. 5 security guards were nearby, but they're trained to protect the public first, so they alerted the police.
The Louvre will remain shut down for another day. It is usually closed to the public on Tuesdays. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 97.5 WFHR.
The Bucks are ready to go. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Bucks kick off their season at home this Wednesday night when they take on the Washington Wizards at Fiserv Forum, and it'll be the first time they face off against former Buck Chris Middleton, who they traded to Washington last season. Doc Rivers says they're planning a special video tribute to Middleton during the game. How come?
Because he's a Buck for life, no matter where he's at. Pat Connaughton's a Buck for life, Brooke Lopez, and so we lost 3 of those guys from last year. Chris will be the first one coming back. And, you know, the Milwaukee fans are phenomenal. So, you know, it's so funny. The one thing I'm not worried about is, like, usually the question, if this was a lot of other places, are you think the fans are going to boo? Of course not. They're not. We traded him. He won a title for us, and he's a Buck. And he's part of this community. Good as he was all on the court, I thought he was a superstar off the court. Him and his wife, with all the things they did for the community.
That's the Bucks head coach Doc Rivers with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 97.5 WFHR.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight and tomorrow, mostly cloudy, passing showers, cold and windy. Temps drop through the 40s tonight and remain there through your Tuesday afternoon. At times, wind gusts above 30 miles an hour. Temps slowly warm through the rest of the week. Currently, it's 44 degrees.
Don't cry for me, Argentina. Why is it that President Trump cares more about bailing out Argentinian farmers than he does about Wisconsin soybean farmers? We'll explain the connection.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
What makes mystery writers tick? How do they conjure the twists and turns that leave us guessing until the last chapter? To find the answers, tune in to Masters of Mystery on WFHR AM 1320 FM 97.5, Sunday, October 26th at 9 p.m. As award-winning mystery authors Terry J. Griffith and Mindy Mejia sit down with host Rob Young before a live audience to discuss their books and their writing journeys.
There's danger out there. It lurks on highways and quiet neighborhood streets. It's more likely to kill you than a shark and more terrifying than the biggest snake. Distracted driving claims lives every day. Every notification, swipe, social post, video, or selfie while driving risks your life. So while you might think public speaking or the zombie apocalypse is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
From Milwaukee to Marshfield, where passion meets purpose and policy meets people, this is the Maggie Dawn Show.
I wouldn't get on this program with all of you fine folks every day and talk about how to do that through voting and through speaking out. I'm here with you every day.
Get ready to challenge the status quo with a fresh perspective on the issues that matter to you.
What are you doing as an elected official? You have no business in an elected office.
Breaking down the complex world of policy and politics with clarity, conviction, and just the right amount of fun.
Go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.
Thank you for having me.
Lawyer, economist, and fearless advocate for the truth. Here is Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everybody. And happy Monday to each and every one of you. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. It is day 20 of the MAGA shutdown of the federal government. But don't worry, Donald Trump has still taken a wrecking ball to the White House. Despite earlier claims from Donald Trump that his $250 million vanity project, because what we need in our federal government's White House is a big $250 million ballroom. I'm sure it'll get a ton of use. He claimed that it wouldn't interfere with the existing White House structure, but there are now pictures all over social media of demolition to the existing White House structure. Only a guy that actually thinks he is a king would ever do such a thing while thousands of federal employees aren't receiving a paycheck. Yeah, and you can just, you know, wait in the bread lines, maybe go without health insurance for a while, but don't look over here while I'm building my vanity project ballroom, because every king needs a Louis XIV Sun King-styled grand hall of gilded goldness to hold a huge banquet. This is insane. This is just, can you imagine, ladies and gentlemen, if Barack Obama had done such a thing? Not even, forget the shutdown. Just been like, yeah, let's burn through about $250 million for a ballroom. You can't make this stuff up. And in case anyone has forgotten who is responsible for this shutdown, now in day 20, let us all refresh our recollections.
Who's going to bear the brunt of the responsibility if indeed there is a shutdown of our government?
Well, if you say who gets fired, it always has to be the top. I mean, problems start from the top, and they have to get solved from the top, and the president's the leader, and he's got to get everybody in a room, and he's got to lead. You know, the interesting thing is in 25 years and 50 years and 100 years from now, when the government is, you know, they talk about the government shutdown, they're going to be talking about the president of the United States. Who was the president?
Yes, they will. Yes, they will, ladies and gentlemen. Just remember, it is Donald Trump and the MAGAs that are responsible for the shutdown, but not shutdown enough to stop his vanity project. Unbelievable. Remember, folks, we have a dedicated email address and phone line for you to tell all of us here at Civic Media how the shutdown or the big brutal bill or Donald Trump's taco tariff terror try to say that five times faster, is impacting you, your family, your family's farm, your small business here in Wisconsin and beyond. That email address is wematter@civicmedia.us. Again, that's wematter@civicmedia.us. And that phone number is 855-755-0771. Wanted to share what we had heard from Bud. He had emailed in, "Hey Maggie, my name is Bud, and I listen to the rebroadcast of your show every morning. Hearing about the downturn that manufacturers are seeing and the possible recession that could result, what should my wife and I do to protect our 401k from losing a bunch of money? We're both nearing retirement. Also, we have to buy our health insurance on the marketplace and are worried about these costs increasing substantially." Bud, you are not alone. I think those are shared sentiments for likely millions of Americans right now. I cannot give investment advice over the radio, but to all of you folks out there that might be worried about your 401k, typically your 401k plan administrator does have financial advisors that are fiduciaries that you can access through your 401k plan administrator. Typically, that service might cost a little bit, or it might be dependent upon what sort of investments you've selected through your 401k plan. But your plan administrator should also be able to help explain to you all investment options and the sort of risks that attend to those that are currently available in your 401k plan. Some investments are more likely to potentially have risks associated with a stagflationary environment or an inflationary environment. Again, talk to your 401k plan administrators. They can at least help you understand the investment options best. So many thanks to Bud, for letting us know how it is impacting him. Also, remember, folks, if you or someone you know and love is around the southeastern Wisconsin area, tell them that they can hear this fine program broadcast on our new super powerful FM station. That is 100.3. It is crystal clear. I've been listening to it as I drive around. Tell everybody you know. And of course, it is Sound Off Monday, so we here at Civic Media, me especially, want to hear you sounding off about the day's news and events. There's so much happening. We cannot possibly get to all of it on the show, though I give it a good hearty college try every day. So it is Sound Off Monday for the entire 2 hours. You are welcome to sound off on what you think is most important to you and your family and our country. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. We're going to start this afternoon after the breaking news with No Kings. Did you go? What did you think of it? How many people were there? Did you see any disruptions? Or was it what I saw when I went to speak at Cathedral Square, which was a bunch of peace-loving, America-loving, democracy-defending community members gathering, folks of different faith backgrounds, lots of folks in blow-up frog-looking outfits, carrying signs, singing songs, chanting together. Thanks to everybody that was there. Steve from Richland saying, "Maggie, you rocked the house. You were just great at No Kings." Thank you so much for being there, Steve. Allie from Madison already weighing in on the text line. "Trump doesn't need a ballroom." Of course he doesn't. Mark from Prairie du Sac saying, "How many millions will the demolition alone cost to the existing structure?" All of that, very good questions and very good points. Let's just jump in to the breaking news. Within the past hour, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, a three-judge panel, has ruled that the Trump administration can move forward with deploying National Guard troops to Portland, Oregon. This is a 36-page ruling that lifted a temporary block on that deployment of either the Oregon or California National Guard that was issued by Trump appointee Judge Karen Emmergut in the federal district for the District of Oregon. It is not clear whether this superseding Ninth Circuit order covers deployments from Texas or other states, as Donald Trump has suggested he might do. Again, this is reporting according to the New York Times just within the past hour. The ruling was not unanimous. Again, this was a three-judge panel. It was split. Two of the three members voted to lift the temporary blockage from Trump-appointed Judge Emmergut. These were two judges, Judge Nelson and Judge Bade, both appointees of Donald Trump. Judge Susan Graber, a Clinton appointee, dissented. What I can nearly guarantee you, folks, is that there will be a request from the plaintiffs in that case to have the Ninth Circuit hear that case en banc. What does that mean? Fancy Latin phrase that means the entire court will sit and hear that appeal. I would almost guarantee that. And the important thing here is that Judge Immergut, like the Seventh Circuit just last week, like the district court in the Illinois case the week before that, held that protesting, even when there is some attendant violent behavior, does not constitute a rebellion. A rebellion requires a specific organized purpose to literally overthrow or challenge the government's authority. Protests exercising our right to oppose policies of a particular government or this administration does not, absent more, constitute a rebellion. So that is breaking news just this afternoon. We're going to have a great guest on this program on Thursday. This is Professor John Hall. He is a military defense expert from the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He's going to be on to discuss these troop deployments in cities. He's going to help us, again, deepen our understanding of the relationship as it's supposed to exist under our Constitution between civil authorities, meaning law enforcement within cities, and the military. Of course, the fact that the military is under civilian control. We're going to get all into that this week. Again, that's going to be on Thursday. Look forward to Professor John Hall to join us. One of the things that I'd like to point out, folks, is that we here on the Maggie Dawn Show, in partnership with my senior producer, Jamie, and a bunch of other folks that help me prepare this program every day, we have been laser focused on getting in these experts who understand the constitutional history and its design when it comes to this particular question, the deployment of military, including National Guard, into our cities because there is protest activity. If there was any singular question in a constitutional democracy, this is the one that should be of the greatest concern to everyone. Forget present circumstances, whether you're Republican or Democrat and independent. This idea of when can the military be deployed to face off against citizens and who gets to make that decision and what facts are required in order for that to be legally permissible. And frankly, should courts just take the Trump administration's word for it? These things are, I just could not tell you, could not be more important for all of us. Again, if you believe in the values of a democracy, understanding this question is absolutely essential. We've got some sound that is about this very point. I've been telling you over and over again that the administration lies constantly in these legal cases. Well, an organization's been looking into this. They were interviewed on 60 Minutes this past weekend. Let's take a listen. This is Scott Pelley interviewing an expert on the Trump administration's lies in sworn court documents. Listen to this.
So the judges are saying some incredible things.
Ryan Goodman is a law professor at New York University who heads a nonpartisan law journal. His team has analyzed hundreds of suits filed against the administration, and he didn't imagine what judges were saying to the Trump Justice Department.
We found over 35 cases in which the judges have specifically said, what the government is providing me is false information. It might be intentionally false information, including false sworn declarations time and again.
In court records compiled by Goodman, Democratic and Republican appointed judges are critical of the Trump Justice Department's work. Highly misleading, said one judge. A serious violation of the court's order, wrote another. And a third warned, trust that had been earned over generations has been lost in weeks.
This isn't the way things normally proceed?
It's not. In fact, I would say for some of the cases that we're looking at, maybe that would happen once every 10 years.
Who gets hurt by this?
The one entity or person or institution that gets hurt the most is the Justice Department.
because it isn't just. Attorneys aren't supposed to lie in court proceedings, and if they do misrepresent facts, they can be disbarred. We're going to continue our discussion, and we're going to talk no kings. How many people showed up? What did you do? Were you there? Stay with us. I'm Maggie Dawn. We talk about no kings.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
We want to thank our listeners for following the Rapids Report over to the podcast world. Your growing support for the show and your favorite guests, area nonprofits, is greatly appreciated.
We love getting the word out about the great things nonprofits do for the community. Special thanks to Crockett Septic for sponsoring this show as they continue to help us bring you great conversations.
Listen to the Rapids Report at WFHR.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Did the average S&P 500 CEOs earn in less than 2 days what their typical worker earned in all of 2023? Yes. In 2023, the average S&P 500 CEO earned about $17 million, or about $46,849 per day, compared to under $64,000 per year for the average worker. Median figures were similar. CEOs made $16.3 million, while median workers earned about $81,000, equivalent to less than 2 days of CEO pay. High CEO compensation remains a stark contrast to the modest worker earnings across major U.S. companies. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
He scores! Wow! He ripped one over the glove of Heaney!
It's on!
And save! Badgers win the shootout!
In America's college hockey capital.
Empty net goal at the horn! Badgers finish Michigan!
Badger hockey lives here.
Sponsored by Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Econ Electric Inc., Rapids Transmission, Junkyard Bar & Grill, and 8th Street Auto. Listen on 97.5 FM and on the Civic Media app.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Were you at No Kings? What was it like? Did you have fun? Did it feel good to actually exercise your First Amendment rights? I've got a great guest. He was with us last week. We got to do the No Kings update this week. His name is Liam Kent. He is the founder of the Blue Anchor Project, one of the national partners for No Kings Day. Liam, welcome back. So nice to see you after the big event has concluded.
Well, thank you so much for having me back. It was absolutely a blast to be able to be here last time, and I'm glad I'm able to be here again.
Thank you so much. So tell us, what are the final numbers looking like?
It has been the largest turnout in any type of civic protest in our country's history. We hit over 7 million people across the country, and it's a little over 2% of the entire population of the United States of America. And we already, going into the day before any protest happened in the U.S., we already had a couple million people protest internationally as well. And wow. we had places all the way, Canada, the U.K., France, other places in Europe. We even had Japan. Yeah. Everywhere. It was amazing to see just how many people came out and wanted to fight for freedom and our democracy.
So impressive. I love seeing Americans, patriots, true patriots,
the true patriots,
true patriots who are concerned about everything from corruption, right? Mm-hmm. To the respect or lack thereof for the rule of law. Right before our last segment went to break, I played what I think is an absolutely bombshell interview between Scott Pelley on 60 Minutes and an attorney named Ryan Goodman. If you're not familiar with Ryan's work, he is a constitutional scholar. He and his organization have been trying to track how many judges, Republican appointed, some Trump appointed, as well as Democratic appointed judges, have found Trump administration lawyers or affidavits submitted by their lawyers contained outright falsehoods, meaning they're lying to courts. So it was really critical in my view that people especially were standing up for this very simple concept that democracy of laws and not men, that our loyalties belong to our Constitution and our legal system, and we need everybody to acknowledge that there should never be anyone that is above the law in our country. That is literally what no kings means. One of the stats I read, Liam, was that this protest was 14 times larger than both Trump inaugural celebrations put together. And perfect. I thought that was, whatever the photoshopping and lying that they did about those crowds, they weren't anywhere near 7+ million people. And that was around 2 million more folks than you people had, that we had, I don't mean you people, that we all had back in June, despite the lying and misdirection of the entire MAGA establishment.
And those numbers in June were conservative estimates, same as this one. We predict that it could be even more. I mean, it's difficult to get exact numbers, but we decided we go in a more of a conservative route.
Yes.
But it's at least 7 million people across this country. And it was at least 5 million last time. And it's amazing just to see how many people, you know, one of my good friends, Shayna, she was in Chicago on the ground, and they stood still for a couple hours before their march even started. And I was in Boston. The amount of people that were there in Boston, I got there about like 9-10 o'clock in the morning. Already by the time I got there, there were about like 5,000 or so people there, and it grew to over just close, like anywhere between 150 to 250,000 people. Chicago alone got very close, if not broke 300,000 people. It was just the amount of people, not only in the big cities, but in small places too. I mean, I think Boise, Montana had around 10,000 plus people there. It was amazing. We had I forget exactly where it was, but there was last time in June, there was about like 50 people there. I think it was in rural Wisconsin or something. And then this time around, it was about like 5,000 people.
Wow.
So just to see the dramatic incline is just phenomenal.
The numbers in total are quite impressive.
Yeah.
But as you were alluding to, Liam, the numbers from these tiny towns were even more impressive to me. Here's just a couple of those. South Haven, Michigan has a total population of 4,000 people. There were 2,000 people at the protest. They had 700 back in June. Shepherdstown, West Virginia, total population 1,500. They had 2,400 people at their they had more protesters than their total city population.
I love it.
Nearly doubling what they had back in June. And there's examples of this from all across the country. The protests, just address a little bit, was there unrest? Were the protests peaceful? Any issues that you were concerned about? I can just say that repeatedly at the Cathedral Square downtown Milwaukee protest that I was speaking at, the MCs and other folks that were running the event repeatedly reminded the crowd to be peaceful, to obey directives from law enforcement. And then if they saw any disruption, I forget the term that they used, but where you just sit down, so that it doesn't, people don't sort of foment or accelerate any kind of kerfuffle that may be going on, which I thought was brilliant. It also draws attention right to where that is, so it can't
be
addressed.
Yeah, we had nothing across the country. It was amazing. Very, very few. We just had Trumpers trying to get attention, and nobody paid attention to them, and it was kind of very amusing.
Yes.
And, you know, I think kind of one thing that people are asking, what's next for all of this? Tune in tomorrow night, and you can go sign up online at No Kings, and there's going to be a whole thing about what you can do next. We already have close to 250,000 people signed up already. So
for
join us
update,
then,
Paul.
And we can make momentum and keep this going right after and make sure that there are no kings ever in U.S. history ever again.
No Kings never ends. Thank you to Liam Kent, one of the national partners of No Kings Day. We're going to talk to you about your experiences on the other side. 855-75.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 97.5 WFHR.
CBS News Brief. President Trump and Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese signed a deal to send rare earth minerals from Australia to the U.S.
We have it all set with Anthony. We've worked on this long and hard, and we're starting that process right now.
A federal appeals court allows President Trump to send the National Guard to Portland, Oregon, while legal challenges continue.
In this particular situation in Portland, given President's comments on social media, it certainly looked like he was calling out the National Guard, not because the current circumstances required it, but in the past there had been disturbances in Portland.
Law professor Lori Levinson. The Blue Jays beat the Mariners 4-3 in Game 7 of the AL Series and are going to the World Series against the Dodgers Friday. That's the call on Fox, and this is CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Toscano.
The Bucks are ready to go. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Bucks kick off their season at home this Wednesday night when they take on the Washington Wizards at Fiserv Forum, and it'll be the first time they face off against former Buck Chris Middleton, who they traded to Washington last season. Doc Rivers says they're planning a special video tribute to Middleton during the game. How come?
Because he's a Buck for life. No matter where he's at, Pat Connaughton's a Buck for life, Brook Lopez, and so we lost three of those guys from last year. Chris will be the first one coming back, and, you know, the Milwaukee fans are phenomenal. So, you know, it's so funny. The one thing I'm not worried about is, like, usually the question, if this was a lot of other places, are you think the fans going to boo? Of course not. They're not. We traded him. He won a title for us, and he's a Buck, and he's part of this community. Good as he was all on the court, I thought he was a superstar off the court, him and his wife, with all the things they did for the community.
That's the Bucks head coach Doc Rivers with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The live part of Saturday Night Live can be a liability at times, as proven this past weekend. Sabrina Carpenter appeared on the show as the host and musical guest. The host side of Carpenter did fine, but the musical side dropped two F-bombs during her song Nobody's Son from her new album Man's Best Friend. Both F-words played live during the broadcast and on the Peacock simulcast, but after some editing, the West Coast saw the PG-13 version. Carpenter performed wearing a karate gi, but unfortunately they were not able to edit out her wardrobe. Here's one of Pete's picks. Roofman is worth a look. This well-reviewed action comedy is a true story about a man who breaks into McDonald's stores through the roof. Even after getting caught, he manages to escape prison and live in a Toys R Us for several months while making a plan to escape the country. The film stars Channing Tatum, Peter Dinklage, and Kirsten Dunst, and was a really fun watch with a really nice but not too preachy message. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight and tomorrow, mostly cloudy, passing showers, cold and windy. Temps drop through the 40s tonight and remain there through your Tuesday afternoon. At times, wind gusts above 30 miles an hour. Temps slowly warm through the rest of the week. Currently, it's 44 degrees.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate.
Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, we'll talk about the growth of wind and solar power generation across rural Wisconsin. And we'll hear from candidate for governor, Representative Francesca Hong.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Were you at No Kings? What did you think? Where was the protest you attended? Did you see any kerfuffles? Or was it just what I experienced at Cathedral Square here in Milwaukee? A big old love fest. A bunch of patriots standing up and saying the rule of law matters in democracies. And it matters that all of us are subject to those laws, that indeed we have no kings. You want to join our conversation? Let us know that you are there, that you are at No Kings. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Kathleen from River Hills chiming in on the text line. Maggie, you go, girl. You are the wind beneath my wings on these bad days. Thank you so much, Kathleen. I got one of my favorite conservatives on the line. Hey, Gary from Sussex. What's up, friend? How are you and what you got for us this afternoon?
Well, I'm very proud of all my Democratic friends for not, you know, causing problems and everything. The part that I don't understand, and this is just my opinion, Maggie, you know,
sure,
is we're all Republicans and everybody. We don't want a king. And if I honestly believe that Donald Trump thought and wants to be our king, I'd be out there marching with you guys. I really do. Donald Trump doesn't want to be a king. He's not a king. He has to follow the rules. He may try to manipulate them, try to get judges to go out there and rule his way, but he doesn't think he's a king. I think you guys, if you're going to protest, you got to come up with something better than no king, you know? I mean, there are plenty of things to protest about, but that, I don't know. I never hit me right because he never claimed to be king, you know? So,
well, let me ask you a couple of questions. What defines a monarchy when it comes to how the government is run?
Well, first of all, he's voted in. So a monarchy is when you vote yourself in, like in Venezuela.
Yes, and I'll grant you that is a distinction. But once a ruler takes over, what defines the way that a monarchy or a monarch, a king or a queen governs? What are some of the hallmarks in your mind of that?
Well, if he can get rid of your they just disappear. People just completely, you know, there's no due process in law. And
okay, process.
Wait a minute. I knew you were going to start that. Okay, he's following the laws that we have. And as a Republican, if you want to change the laws, then we have to change the laws. Right now, people that come into this country that sneak in are illegal. Okay.
So Gary, hang on. What you're talking about is enforcement of immigration laws. I want to set that aside for a second. Were you listening to the whole show? Have you been listening since
45 minutes? Yeah.
Okay. Did you hear the Scott Pelley 60 Minutes interview of a legal scholar that says we now have dozens of district court judges who are ruling that the Trump administration is lying in sworn statements to the court. And we have dozens of courts that have either found the administration in contempt, threatening sanctions, or have found that the Trump administration has ignored court rulings. We now have a Trump-appointed high-level ex-DOJ lawyer that was also interviewed on 60 Minutes this past weekend, who said that the third in command now at the DOJ, a man by the name of Emil Beauvais, directed DOJ attorneys to use the F word, but ignore court orders that dealt with deportations without due process, Gary. What do you make of that? Does that sort of line up more with democracies, or does that tend to look more like a monarchy?
Well, the fact is, when Biden was president of the United States.
Hang on, Gary. Hang on. We can talk about whether Joe Biden did a good job on immigration. But you raised a point. You said Trump's not a king. Hang on.
Okay.
You called and said Donald Trump doesn't act like a king. So I'm exploring that with you. This isn't about Joe Biden. There are now lawyers and courts and people that are whistleblowing saying the Trump administration is lying to courts and is refusing to follow court orders. And I'm asking you, does that sound more like a monarchy or does it sound more like a democracy?
No, he can say whatever he wants. He can lie about this and try to manipulate.
He cannot do that in court, Gary. You just said there should be rule of law and due process, and the Trump administration and the guy at the top of the Trump administration is none other than Donald Trump, has been lying to courts where you cannot lie and has been failing to follow court orders. And I'm just asking you, if those things are true, Gary, is that more like somebody acting like a king, or does that sound like a functional democracy where the law matters?
No, he's trying to manipulate things. If he was the king, he would sit there and tell the courts to jump in a lake.
But you just made my point for me. Thank you. I want to ask you another question. You said if you don't like laws, you change them. So we have laws in this country that require Congress, not the president, to approve tariffs. He hasn't done that, though the GOP controls both houses of Congress. Is that more like a king or more like a democracy?
Donald Trump will try to get away with as much stuff as he possibly can. But
and if that's true, Gary, does that make him someone who is trying to exercise the powers that you more historically have seen a king engage in versus a democracy? If he wants to impose tariffs, he can do that through Congress, and the GOP controls both houses. Why didn't he do that?
Everybody use executive power. Obama did that. Biden does that.
I'm not talking about Obama or Biden. I'm talking about Donald Trump. He has imposed tariffs at levels never before seen in modern American history. He didn't go through Congress, though that's what is required under the law. I'm just asking you, at what point will you say he's trying to get away with things? Why? Shouldn't a president, he takes an oath to defend, uphold, and protect the Constitution of the United States of America. Isn't it a conflict? Isn't it a violation of that oath if he's trying to, your words here, sir, quote, get away with things?
Maggie, he is going to do whatever he thinks is right, and he's going to try to get away with as much stuff as he can. But since he's not the king, he will get shut down on some of that stuff.
But Gary, my point is that he should not be doing that. That's not what a good commander-in-chief who wants us to live in a functional democracy with the rule of law, that's not what a commander-in-chief does. You can call out individual examples of prior presidents using executive orders. You find me a single historian that is independent and objective that will say that the use of executive orders by Obama or Biden is anywhere close to this. The total number of executive orders combined in two terms of Obama plus the 4 years of Biden were exceeded in 2 months by Donald Trump. Does that sound more like a king or a democracy? In 2 months, Gary, that's the volume we're looking at.
He will do whatever he thinks he can get away with.
And that, Gary, is why people call him a wannabe tin pot dictator. Thanks so much, Gary. Charles has been very patient. Charles, what you got for us, sir?
Oh, no, Maggie, you're very patient. God bless you. Man, bless you, bless you, bless you. Woof. I have no idea what Kool-Aid these people are drinking. I wasn't going to comment on that. But I'm like, wow, he wants to be a king all day, every day. I don't understand what they're seeing that we're not seeing.
He talked about due process. He talked about kings disappearing people. I was like, yeah, Donald Trump's doing that. We didn't even go down that line.
Americans, and we have no idea where the people from Alligator Alcatraz are or the people that they're rounding up on the streets now. We don't know where those people are. But I was calling because you and Earl Ingram set it on fire Saturday. My wife and I went down to the rally, and it was, I'm like, wait, we get there, and I hear Earl. My wife said, oh, that's Earl Ingram. And I'm like, wait, where's Maggie Dawn at? Dawn of the Resistance, she's supposed to be here. And then after 12, when you came up, I said, all right, it sucks that we had to be there for No Kings rally, but boy, I was so inspired by seeing all the people down there, all the great signs. I am upset, though, that I didn't get my bag of George Soros money that everybody
were getting. Where's my big payout? I thought this was going to be my ticket.
I'm upset about the big payout. I thought I was going to be able to take a trip tomorrow. But no, Maggie, it was so great just to see all the people there. And everybody there for the same reason, trying to save the democracy of this country. And we see what they're doing. Yeah. You're talking about sending military to places where they don't need military. Not once has he said anything about sending military to places where there have been mass killings in the southern states. If I can make one more point, where are the conservatives screaming about the grocery prices? That's all they talked about when Biden was president.
Those damn grocery, eggs.
Grocery.
Good point, Gary. Excuse me. Good point, Charles. Jeez, Louise. I'm so sorry I called you Gary, Charles. Good point, Charles. Thanks to you and your wife for coming down. Thanks for a little love on Earl and I. It was a humbling privilege to be there. I was fired up. I could have probably gone for a whole hour on that stage, but they would have gotten the old hook out. Thank you so much, Charles. We've got time for at least one more. Phil from Minneapolis, welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show. What you got for us, sir?
Hi, Maggie. Well, I went to the No Kings in my little inner ring suburb, and I was almost brought to tears by a number of people there and the range of ages and all the beautiful, very pointed, wonderful signs.
Yes.
And I commented to one person who I was taking a few photographs. I commented to a guy who said, you're going to post those somewhere? And I said, I don't know, probably not. And he said, and I thought, I've only been shooting demonstrations for 60 years.
Mm. Yeah.
And when we first moved to Minnesota when I was a kid in the late 50s, we first started picketing Woolworths because they wouldn't let black people in the South sit at the lunch counters.
Phil, I hear you, brother. There is a through line from those moments of civil disobedience and protest to the injustice, the lawlessness, the mayhem, and dare I say, the foolishness of this administration. Foolish because he trashes or poops on, maybe in an AI-generated video, the values that we all hold most close to our heart as Americans. We're going to continue our discussion. I might be joined by my friend Tom Paulswitz on the other side. We're going to continue to talk about No Kings, folks. Were you there? What did you think? What did you see? What did you experience? 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. We might even have a little bit of the sound for me lighting the stage on fire this past Saturday. So stay tuned, y'all. You are listening to the Civic.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful. It's the least that you can do.
Don't play with matches. Don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
You wanted to be cool, which led you to smoking, which led to a pack a day. Then you met that special someone, which led to starting a life with them, which led to wanting to live longer, which led to quitting. Then you heard you may be at risk for lung cancer, which led you to getting a low-dose CT scan. If you smoked, get scanned. Talk to your doctor and learn more at savedbythescan.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I lack a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
I almost can't help but to sing along with this song. Y'all love me some Violent Femmes. Happy Monday afternoon, one and all. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're talking about No Kings, and were you there? What'd you see? Was it fun? What was your experience like? Please give us a call or text. Share with us, 855-752-4842. I had a great conversation with my friend Gary, one of our conservative texters and callers. He said, what do you call it, No Kings? He doesn't act like a king. And we discussed, because I think there are many things about what Donald Trump is doing that are very king-like. Basically asking people for loyalty pledges, declaring as Marxists and the devil's ideology and evil, people who oppose your agenda, people who object. He's building a freaking ballroom. I even referenced Louis XIV, the sun god, in his gilded ballroom in my opening. Seems pretty king-like. He's often claimed by the Christian far nationalist right to be at the hand of God. His son claimed that they saved God last week. Sure sounds like kings and the divine right of kings. And to me, the biggest thing is the complete flouting of court orders. His lawyers and people in his administration lying every day, the propaganda machine. That is all very monarchy-esque, if not dictator-esque. Happy to bring back with me now my good friend and yours, Tom Paulswitz, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Welcome back, Tom. Were you at a No Kings protest?
It's great to be back, and yes, I was. I went to Brookfield, so out on Blue Mound Road that runs right through the heart of industrialized Brookfield. Well over 1,000 people, and I wasn't struck as much by the protesters as much as the amount of cars honking in agreement. It
yes.
was astounding to watch all these cars go back and forth up Blue Mound Road. And just, it was probably, not just the number of attendees, but easily times 10 the number of people that honked going by. So it really, it stirred something in people to say, yeah, I agree with you. And one of the things, because I've been thinking about the No Kings thing too. It's like it's more of a branding thing, but I think that Donald Trump, he wants to act unilaterally, and he always says I. He never says we. He always says I. So it's about what he thinks, and he's right, and it's his way. And if it's not his way, you're against him. Therefore, you're an enemy. And I don't know. I mean, you can use the king idea because there's a whole bunch of different ideas, but I think it comes down to is he thinks he's the only one.
Yeah.
And
I am your retribution. I am the only one that can save us. That is all monarchist sort of dictatorial type language. It's not the language that you ever hear from presidents in this country. Go ahead, Tom. Sorry.
Right. At least monarchs had a family they had to be wary of. So you never quite knew who wanted to take over. And I think, and to me, someone like Gary calling in, one of the things I think about with a guy like Gary is he may agree with what Trump is trying to do. I think we all disagree with the way he's doing it. And I think it's an important distinction.
That's the rule of law part. In a democracy, the government and our elected leaders literally swear an oath to uphold, protect, and defend the Constitution. Donald Trump violates that oath basically daily. That's why people call him a wannabe dictator or a wannabe authoritarian or a wannabe king. Let's take some calls. People are stacking up here. Want to give a little love to the text line very briefly. Luke from the south side of Chicago says, Gary, what are you talking about? Donald Trump is using the power of the federal government to punish his enemies, both high-profile people and average American citizens. Entire sections of this country have not shown him enough loyalty. He is trying to demonize and hurt us. So many instances of American citizens being unconstitutionally detained and assaulted and abused by ICE with no recourse to a phone call or legal counsel. The blanket pardons, the J6 blanket pardons. Why? Based on loyalty, not contrition, not they've shown remorse for their crimes, but because they were loyal. That is very king-like. Robert from Eau Claire, say hello to Tom Paulswitz. What you got for us? Hey, Robert, are you there? Robert from Eau Claire.
You said Tom. Hey, Maggie.
Hey.
Sure, I was in Eau Claire. I was in Eau Claire. No Kings. Fantastic. I was in tears at the enthusiasm. I enjoyed it so much. I went up to Chippewa Falls and was there also. Great turnout, wonderful people. Gary, that's the problem. And Timothy Snyder talks about this a lot, justifying Trump's actions. That's part of the problem. It's like you try and be reasonable and and point out some of the contradictions and the hypocrisies. These attorneys lying, I'm not sure why they aren't disbarred one after another. This is crazy. But it's unfortunate.
It's horrifying.
And I have a sister. Pardon?
Horrifying.
Yeah, it is. You know, it just simply is. And I've got, you know, a sister, as many people do, in Florida. And all I hear about is what Obama used to do. And so I don't know. Just no.
Like, people, Obama was elected to the presidency the first time 17 years ago. Get over the fact that a black guy actually sat in the Oval Office and was beloved and had incredibly high approval ratings and created a health care approach, the ACA, that more Republicans used than Democrats. Enrollees in the ACA are 45% Republicans, 35% Democrats. And the rest is all the others. We're going to continue this fine conversation with Tom Paulsiewicz and you about No Kings. We'll get some of that sound of me giving my presentation there on the other side.
This is Locally Grown Radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. George Springer put Toronto ahead with a three-run homer in the seventh inning, and the Blue Jays advanced to the World Series for the first time since 1993 by beating the Seattle Mariners.
Wild pitch. High fly ball. Left field. A Rosarena. Watches it go!
The call on Fox, the score was 4-3. At the White House, tearing down part of the East Wing has begun in order to build the ballroom President Trump wants there.
You know, we're building right behind us. We're building a ballroom. They've wanted a ballroom for 150 years, and I'm giving that honor to this wonderful place.
It will fit 999 people, he says. There was another failed Senate vote, the 11th, to try to end the government shutdown. Correspondent Nicole Killian reports Republican leader John Thune and Democratic leader Chuck Schumer aren't budging.
Efforts to reopen the